In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. We have, of course, a theme today in our readings, or at least a reading from the Hebrew Bible and our great reading from the Gospel of John, and that is the theme of weddings. And it seems perhaps a little odd or out of place in this cold January day to be thinking of such a celebration. Although I add that both myself and my parents had weddings in the winter. But it's entirely fitting for early Epiphany. Sing of God made manifest, we sang to begin this morning. And in this season, we of course mark the appearance of the God made man. The manifestation of the God incarnate, God with us. And therefore, can we think of any occasion more that combines more of the earthy, commonplace, social and cultural things with also the life and love-affirming, beautiful things, even glorious things, than a wedding, where nature and culture, social values, coupling, come together with solemn promises, earthy love with promises, hope and expectations. In a way, I think this is a perfect place for godly abundance and glory to come and appear. It meets us where we are and yet transcends where we are to point to the abundant glory of God, abundant glory. I'm reminded of my own wedding 14 years ago. Remind me of that in a few weeks, by the way. Where one of the questions on our minds before we were married was whether to have a large wedding. We ended up inviting around 150 guests. Somewhat large by today's standards, particularly when one considers the immense costs of such a thing. One of the factors in deciding to have the wedding was that you don't really get the opportunity very much to gather everyone that you love and know into one place. And we learned that lesson so well later that year when my wife suddenly lost her dad. Mere months after our wedding. And now I've lost both my parents and other loved ones at that wedding. We look back upon that day with great fondness. But here I wonder if we had expanded that guest list and imagine Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the disciples coming to this wedding. Now, and of course, in a sense, Jesus showed up to our wedding. We, after all, had a Christian wedding. It was explicit. And if this is the God made manifest, Jesus is always a guest at your wedding. But this is Jesus coming to the wedding at Cana. And it's one of my favorite passages in all of the New Testament. And in part, because it shows forth that abundance of meaning and of the abundance of God's glory. Simple and yet so full of meanings. Ancient weddings often lasted a whole week. A week of feasting, of celebrating, of taking time off to celebrate with the couple. And if you were wealthy, which it seems like this couple was, large wedding with servants, that feast would go on and on. And in fact, the whole town could be invited. It didn't have to be a beloved guest. And so it's not particularly strange that Jesus and the disciples were invited, even if they perhaps were not close friends. Interestingly, in this story, in the Gospel of John, we know next to nothing about the couple. In fact, they hardly appear in this story. But we shouldn't be surprised. John's Gospel is like this. It overwhelms with meaning. It startles you in its revelation. This is very personal for me too, one of my Christian journeys to ordination is learning the lesson of how revealing the Gospel of John is. I used to think that John was not my favorite gospel until I was blown away by the way in which it reveals God's nature to us. And here is a perfect example of the power of John's gospel. Combining that easy and familiar, yet so full of wonder and mystery. John's Jesus is both here and with us, one of us, and yet at the very same time transcends us. John's Jesus is not so much a miracle worker, but a God of signs who signifies the great glory of God. Where the miracle or sign performed is often, to use the stage term, offstage, hidden, and yet right in front of us. Here, water is turned to wine. We know not how. No one saw it happen, and yet it happened right in front of us. And it is very, very real to everyone present. And only us and the servants know who did it. This passage is a bit like the jars in it. That is, meaning is filled to the brim, and then some. Consider a few of the things here in this passage. Foremost, right off the top of the page, it's clear that Jesus saves the groom from dishonor, of running out of wine in that week-long festival. And yet, it seems like the groom doesn't even know who did it. Only the servants know, and the mother of Jesus. And those servants who serve Jesus serve him without question, and in a way participate in the turning of the water into wine. And one of the little details of this passage I find so fascinating is how quickly they filled these jars with which a very large quantity of water in an arid place. And then there's, of course, the interaction of Jesus with his mother, I think representing a kind of perfect interplay between the human and the divine, where Jesus' answer to "they have no wine," rather than being, as it can sometimes first impression give you, of being rude or curt, I think actually highlights the human and divine concerns all at once. And by the way, both are fulfilled. The concerns of Mary are legitimate, and yet there is also the divine here. Jesus helps the groom save face, but gives so much more. So much more that there's a kind of abundance, an overabundance, you could even say, of wine. It's a difficult passage for our brothers and sisters from traditions that have a strong teetotaling background. That is to say, there's no escaping that this is an enormous pile of wine. It's even an enormous pile of water, far more than the rites of purification would require. And yet, such abundance, so much more than what would have been needed to continue this feast. What is its meaning for us? God's glory is among us, in our midst. It takes hold of our commonplace lives, just as we saw in Isaiah and in Paul, and gives us so much more. This passage, this wedding feast at Cana, it gives us an idea of what it is like to encounter God's glory. It meets our expectations while blowing them away. It fills us fully and yet offers so much more. It's fitting then that this is the first sign, in John's gospel. And as the gospel says, the disciples recognized it and believed in him. Let us do the same. Amen.